Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Now, it is with great sadness that we announce the death of an astronaut. His name is Bruce McCandless, and he died on December the 21st at the age of 80. Now, he was a mission specialist that flew twice into space on STS-41B and STS-31. Now, STS stands for Space Transportation System, or just simply Space Shuttle to most people. He was selected as an astronaut in 1966. He served as mission control communicator during the Apollo 11 moonwalk, and you no doubt have heard his voice many, many times, although you probably didn't realize who it was. That was the Apollo 11 moonwalk made by Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin in 1969 July. After that, McCandless moved on to be on the support crew for Apollo 14. Now, you realize there's a prime crew that actually flew the mission, there's a backup crew which would have flown had the prime crew not been able to fly, and there was a support crew which was never intended to fly on that. He was on that support crew, Apollo 14. He was then a backup pilot for Skylab 2. That was the first crewed mission of the Skylab Orbital Laboratory Program. Skylab 1 was, of course, the space station itself, and then they flew three manned missions to that space station, Skylab 2, 3, and 4. Now, he never actually made it onto any of those things, although he was very intimately involved in developing a backpack, a sort of a Buck Rogers-type backpack thing, although most of you probably never even heard of Buck Rogers, let alone seen any of the movies about him. So in 1984, he finally got his first flight into space. That was on STS-41B, and he made a two-hour flight away from the Space Shuttle Challenger on the manned maneuvering unit. During that foray, 100 meters from Challenger, he said, "It may have been a small step for Neil, but it's a heck of a big leap for me." And, of course, he was the astronaut on the control center in Houston when Neil made his small step statement. So this flight on STS-41B was the first ever untethered spacewalk. During STS-31, that was a five-day mission aboard Discovery, he helped deploy the Hubble Space Telescope. And that was in 1990. So we're going to hear a few little clips from his life. First up, this is him talking to Neil Armstrong as Neil Armstrong steps out onto the moon. The voices you hear are those of Neil Armstrong and Bruce McCandless.
And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Hope you had a good picture, huh?
There's a great deal of contrast in it, and currently it's upside down on our monitor, but we can make out a fair amount of detail. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. Buzz, this is Houston, F2, I'm at 1/160th second for shadow photography on the sequence camera.
Okay. I'm at the foot of the ladder, and I'm going to step off the limb now.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers like powdered charcoal to the sole and sides of my boot. I only go in a fraction of an inch, maybe an eighth of an inch, but I can see the footprints of my boots and the treads in the fine sandy particles.
Neil, this is Houston. We're copying.
So there's Bruce McCandless talking with Neil Armstrong on the moon in 1969. Well, McCandless' turn to shine again came in 1984, of course. And here's a little feature about that flight on the manned maneuvering unit.
One innovation seemed right out of science fiction. the Manned Maneuvering Unit, or MMU.
The MMU's purpose was to allow the crew member mobility to go rescue a satellite or do various jobs from the shuttle. It was your jetpack.
In 1984, astronaut Bruce McCandless took the MMU on its first test drive.
I think a lot of us would love to have had the opportunity to fly in that mission.
Completely untethered 189 miles above Earth, McCandless floated away from the spacecraft. His colleagues aboard the shuttle kept a keen eye on him.
Everyone had thought out emergency scenarios, so we were keeping our radar trained on him, and our noses were up to the window watching. Bruce McCandless went out, flying out with this Buck Rogers-type backpack 100 meters out from the spacecraft.
McCandless floated alone in space almost 6 hours and captured imaginations back on Earth.
The picture's iconic because it shows a human floating in space, right? I mean, if you think about it, he's really in his own little spaceship.
The experimental MMU evolved into a much smaller device, now built into every NASA spacesuit. Simplified Aid for EVA Rescue, also known as SAFER.
The SAFER built on that technology and that proof of concept, but it really had a different job. Its job is, if I get so far away from my vehicle cannot come get me. So the SAFER is my push back toward where I need to be.
It is every spacewalker's emergency life jacket.
And that SAFER is now carried on all the spacewalks they do from the International Space Station. Now, after his mission on STS-41B, after that space flight, McCandless and the other crew members gave a debriefing. And during the debriefing, they showed the pictures of what they were doing. And some of those pictures have become iconic of spacewalks. For example, I've got here a record by Tomita, a Japanese musician. It's called Spacewalk, Impressions of an Astronaut. And the whole cover is this iconic photograph of Bruce McCandless way out from the space shuttle, flying independently without a tether. And on the back cover, it has tracks called Opening the Hatch, Leaving the Ship, Floating Free, Somersaults in Space, The Orb of Beauty, Get to Work, No Sound in Space, and so it goes on and on. And lots more photographs of that iconic spacewalk. So if you've ever seen our pictures of an astronaut floating in space, you've possibly seen the one of Bruce McCandless. So anyway, here's now Bruce McCandless describing his spacewalk.
Yeah, here we are preparing for EVA, having done the liquid cooling and ventilation garments in space. You put your pants on both legs at the same time. The hatch leads into the airlock, which is a structure about 5 feet in diameter and 6 feet high that can be depressurized independently of the main cabin and has another hatch on the backside that leads out into the payload bay. This is coming out the hatch. That was the outer thermal hatch, the inner one having, the structural hatch having been opened a few minutes earlier. Basically, we came out and picked up a 35-foot self-tending tether reel right above the hatch, the task you see me doing here, and then separated left and right to start on our respective tasks. My first task was getting the port side MMU ready to fly and checking it out and starting into a check flight, followed by some translations up and down the payload bay and some longer range translations. The light on the back of the MMU is a locator light in case we got to flying around in the darkness so Vance could keep an eye on where we were. Basically, we were very pleased with the way the MMU handled. It was very much like the simulations at the Martin Company in Denver, except that we did find that when translating with the attitude hole system activated, since we had built it to conserve propellant by turning some of the thrusters off, if you started to pick up a rotational rate, this hadn't been modeled in detail in the simulator. You got an averaged response, and of course here you could feel every little thruster coming on and off. But other than that, the flying characteristics were virtually identical to the simulator. And, of course, here we had complete freedom to turn somersaults and maneuver about all three rotational axes. And actually, the orbital mechanics were much more realistic. And, of course, the quality of the visuals, that is, the scene, was a lot higher here than in any simulator. Here I am, I guess, backing out to 150 feet and coming back in, and then out to 300 and coming back in. This is approximately the same sort of translation that the folks on the next mission, the Solar Maximum Repair Mission, will be faced with in moving from the orbiter over to the Solar Maximum spacecraft.
It was interesting seeing Bob and Bruce go out to 300 yards at... We had some qualms about it before the flight. We were concerned to have a human being out that far untethered, but we had backup procedures to go get them if anything went wrong with their equipment. So by the time flight came along, we were quite happy with the idea, and it turned out to be not bad in practice.
Hey, back inside the cabin after the first EVA, one of the tasks was to recharge and replenish the pressure suits, or EMUs. This shot here shows installing a fresh lithium hydroxide cartridge, which absorbs the exhaled carbon dioxide in your breath, thereby partially revitalizing the circulating oxygen. Again, the second EVA, the device on the front of the MMU, which I can't see here right now, we'll see again in a minute, the so-called T-pad, or trunnion pin attachment device, which is being operated by the MMU pilot here, is a device which is adapted to grab a trunnion pin on the Solar Maximum spacecraft that was not ever intended to be used as a means of capturing or controlling the spacecraft, but was a handy structural point, you know, normally used for lifting it on the ground or supporting it in the orbiter. The T-pad represents a class of devices that can be used with the maneuvering unit to attach a grapple fixture to virtually any sort of satellite that is currently on orbit, and to stabilize a large variety of satellites also to make it easier for the RMS to grab them. We exercised both the primary one, which is sticking straight out, and the secondary one, which is 90 degrees down from the primary one, and basically are very happy that they function in the manner in which they're intended. Bob has pointed out there is no up and there is no down in space. In the simulator, you can do this same sort of maneuver, even underwater, but when you do, it's still fairly uncomfortable. All the blood rushes to your head because you really are upside down in 1G, and although you can do it, you don't like to fly around upside down for too long. In space, there is none of that feeling of uneasiness. Once you're accustomed to seeing the Earth rushing by at 4 miles per second, and you concentrate on the orbiter and or the spas, your references at hand, you feel quite comfortable flying around at the relatively slow velocities with respect to them. It's sort of like two rather fast airplanes flying formation on one another.
The voice of Bruce McCandless, speaking there in 1984, just after the STS-41B mission. Well, Bruce never made a moonwalk. He would have loved to have done so, as would all the other astronauts that were selected in 1966, but that was not to be. So we're going to play some songs about moonwalks and spacewalks. Okay. Extravehicular activity, if you are pedantic. Extravehicular means going outside of the vehicle, outside of the spacecraft. And most people call them spacewalks, but they're called EVAs in NASA speak. and the two types of, well, two types that we're related to tonight, and that's the moonwalk EVA and the spacewalk in Earth orbit type moonwalk. So here's a song by Joe Simon. Actually, we've got two songs by Joe Simon from 1969. This is called Moonwalk, and the singer is so in love that he's doing the moonwalk. Even so, he has time to collect moon rocks and dust. So this was side A of a 45 revolutions per minute single.
From loving you, oh yeah, you got me doing the moonwalk, girl. You got me doing the moonwalk. It's just a matter of time before you blow my mind. You got me, oh. Oh yeah, you got me during the moonwalk, girl. You got me during the moonwalk. It's just a matter of time before you blow my mind. You got me, oh. Just walk along and bounce. Kind of shake a little bit every once in a while. Move out on the right foot. Then the left. You understand? Now we're going to do it one more time. I want you to join in and help me. All right, here we go. Right foot. Left. Pick up some rocks. Little that moon dust. Put it in your bag. Walk on home with it now.
Now, just give me a moment to flip the 45 RPM single over and put it on the turntable, line it up, and yes, I think I'm ready now. Here we go. The Moonwalk Part 2 by Joe Simon from 1969.
Tim wanna do it. Come on, man. Come on, Mr. BJ, let me see you. Oh, yeah. Everybody do your your own thing now. You got the best of yourself, that's all you need. Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you what I'm gonna do. All I'm gonna do is my soul. I'm gonna do it, baby, till I reach my goal. Oh, my love. I'm just gonna be quiet a while and sit back and let my hair blow and listen to that brother Ray kind of solo that saxophone for you. Go ahead on, Ray.
From 1969, Joe Simon with The Moonwalk. And do you know how many people walked on the moon in 1969? Yeah, I wonder if you can think that up before the end of these messages.
Hi, this is Mark Holden, and you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
Well, we're going to have, in about 4 or 5 minutes, Purple Haze with Nick Black. But let's answer that question. Yes, there were 4 people walked on the moon in 1969. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Pete Conrad, and Alan Bean. Yes, they walked on the moon in 1969. Well, let's go to spacewalks. Do you know who did the first spacewalk? Well, it was a Russian, and his name was Alexei Leonov. And we have Lyudmila Zykina from 1965, and this is about Voskhod 2 and Alexei Leonov, with the music by Alexander Delukhayan and the lyrics by Igor Morozov. This is Spacewalk.
В том краю, где бродят метеоры, космонавты держат путь опять. За окном заветные просторы, okay. Если хочешь, можно погулять. Не по тропкам кожаным молодец идет, завлекает молодца звездный хоровод, звездный хоровод,
хоровод.
Don't have time.
Каждая звезда зовет и манит, и глядит сегодня веселей. Вот они какие эти парни, штурманы ракетных кораблей. Не по тропкам кожаным молодец идет, завлекает молодца звездный хоровод, звездный хоровод, хоровод. Русские улыбки в звездном крае мчатся на обжитом корабле, и пешком по космосу шагают, как они шагают по земле. Не по тропкам кожаным молодец идет, завлекает молодца звездный хоровод, звездный хоровод.
This has been The Space Show with Andrew Rennie, and we've been talking about moonwalks and spacewalks on this evening's show.